We're in 2 Kings chapter 5 today. 2 Kings chapter 5 for our text as we continue our series on Elisha the prophet. And these studies will lead us up to our Thanksgiving time. It'll help us to remind us about being thankful too. Many years ago, I had a friend, and we both served as elders in the same church we attended. And God worked it out so that we both left that church at the same time. I came here to begin this church, and he became a pastor in a church down in the southern tier. Now, we started this church as an independent church, and the church where he became the pastor was a denominational church. And occasionally, we would talk together on the phone to see how we were progressing. It was probably about a year later that he called me to offer me some advice. Because his church was part of a denomination, he was required to attend conferences on a regular basis. And he said to me, "Eric, there are certain people I have met who are very influential people. And Eric, if you want to know the right people, they can help you and you can really go far. So what I'm willing to do is introduce you to these important people. It's something I want to do for you to help you succeed. And when you know the right people, you can go far." So I thanked him for his advice, and I wished him well. But I never made any attempt to follow up on his suggestion. I never met any of those influential people, and I never got to know the right people. I guess it was always my opinion that I knew Jesus, and if I followed the Holy Spirit, that was the right people. All right. And although I'm sure that those influential people were fine men, I'd be better off if I followed the advice of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, that was over 30 years ago. My friend who offered me that advice has long since left that church and eventually left the ministry altogether. But we're still serving the Lord here in East Shelby. Amen. In our text today, there's a lot of influential people. There's a great deal of effort to impress the right people. And we'll see how the prophet Elisha will deal with all these influential and important people. Our story begins with one of those very important people. To the north of Israel was the kingdom of Syria. And the king of Syria was very fortunate to have as the commander of his army a very talented leader. And this commander-in-chief had led many successful raids and had raised a lot of money for the king of Syria. The commander-in-chief had also led raids into Israel. And during those raids, he captured people and took them home to be his servants. Now, when you first hear that, you think, "Oh, this is a bad man leading raids, capturing people and making them his slaves." But before you pass judgment, consider two things. Number one, he was a very wealthy man and lived with his servants in very comfortable surroundings. And number two, he was very kind to his servants and treated them with respect. So that the end result was that his servants were very loyal to him. But there's a fascinating part of this story. And if you're here today and you are 8 years old, or 9 or 10 years old, or even maybe 11 or 12 years old, I want you to listen very carefully. Because one of the most important people in this story is your age. There's a young girl who was taken captive by this commander-in-chief from Israel. And this young girl, just your age, has become a maid to the commander-in-chief's wife. And the young girl runs errands and helps the lady of the house, just like you help your mom. You do that, don't you? All right. So let's meet this commander-in-chief. Let's meet the little girl who served as a maid in her house. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1. Now, Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. He's a leper. Now, the commander-in-chief of the army is named Naaman. And although he's a great man of war, he has a skin disease called leprosy. And that's a nasty disease that makes your skin dry up and your skin turns as white as snow. And it shows up in big white patches that will eventually eat away at your skin, and your fingers fall off. Your nose will disappear off your face. And even in this world today, there's no cure for leprosy. So Naaman, this great man, has come down with leprosy. And as soon as you see him, white patches all over his arms, all over his face. It's a very nasty disease. But serving in his house is this young girl taken from Israel. Verse 2, the Syrians had gone out by companies, had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Back in Israel, she heard stories about the prophet Elisha. Wonderful stories. How he helped a young boy who dropped his axe head in the river, and Elisha made the axe head float. She heard the stories about two boys who were going to be sent away as servants, just like she was. But Elisha gave them olive oil that filled 40 pots of oil. And she even heard the story that Elisha raised a young 6-year-old boy from the dead. So this girl told Naaman's wife that there was a prophet back in Israel who could cure Naaman's leprosy. But Elisha had never cured leprosy. Uh-oh. Why did the little girl say that Elisha could cure leprosy when he had never done that before? Maybe she said too much? No. The little girl thinks in very logical ways, and she thinks Elisha's always helping children. He loves children. He even raised a boy from the dead, and God helped Elisha. So I believe, she said, Elisha can cure leprosy. Good girl. Good thinking. In her simple childlike logic, she believes Elisha can cure leprosy. And why not? Why not? Look at all the wonderful things that Elisha did. So why not? Now listen carefully, you young people that are here, same age as this girl. Listen carefully. The Bible says in Psalm 8 that out of the mouth of babes, God has ordained strength. Or, in other words, children can say very powerful things. And it was Jesus himself who said, "I thank God that God reveals secrets to babes and hides things from wise and prudent men." Or in other words, children understand things that grown-ups just don't get. This little girl tells her lady that Elisha can cure leprosy. And that was a very powerful thing to say. her lady told her husband, Naaman. And Naaman got all excited, and he ran and told the king of Syria, my little girl servant said there's a prophet in Israel who can cure leprosy. So the king of Syria said, I'll write a letter to the king of Israel and tell him to get you cured. So you see, Naaman thought, if we get all the right people involved, we'll use our influence to get my leprosy cured. So follow it now. The little girl tells Naaman's wife, and Naaman's wife tells Naaman, and Naaman tells the king of Syria, and the king of Syria tells the king of Israel. So what does the king of Israel say in verse number 7? It came to pass when the king of Israel read the letter, he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. Is he crazy? He wants me to cure leprosy? Must be a trick. Nobody can do that. And he rips his clothes in frustration and fear, and there just happens to be one of his servants there. And he runs and tells Elisha. Verse 8. It was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel rent his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me. He shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So this little girl said a very powerful thing. The message has gone all the way now to Elisha. And Elisha says, just send him to me. So now the message will go the other way from Elisha to the king of Israel, to the king of Syria, to Naaman, to Naaman's wife, all the way back to the little girl. And she says, goody, goody, my master will be cured. Well, Naaman gets together a whole entourage, servants and armed guards. Why does he have armed guards? Well, if you look back at verse 5, it said the king of Syria said, go to, I'll send a letter to the king of Israel. He departed, took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. He's got money. He's got a lot of money. In our money today, it's almost a half $1 million. And 10 changes of clothes. Not Walmart clothes, folks. All right? Expensive. He figures he's going to pay for his cure, and that $500,000 should do it. And why not? That's about what we pay, isn't it? You get heart disease, or you get lung disease, or cancer. Costs you $500,000. So Naaman, this very important man, comes up to the little house where Elisha lives, all ready to impress Elisha with his wealth and power. Verse number 9. Naaman came with his horses, with his chariot, stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. This is a great story. Elisha peeks out the window. And he sees this very important man. He tells his servant, just go out and tell him, wash in the Jordan 7 times and be clean. So the servant goes out and delivers the message, turns around, goes back in the house. Well, Naaman flies into a rage, verse 11. Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he'd surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. I thought he would come out and call on his God for me, and dear God, cure this great man of leprosy, and now wave his hand over my white patches and say, heal, heal, heal. But instead, he sends a message. Go wash in the Jordan River. It's a muddy river. It's a dirty river. Back home, we got crystal clear rivers. Why can't I go and wash in a clean river? Who wants to wash in the muddy old Jordan River? And he turns and leaves in a rage. So why didn't Elisha answer the door? Because Elisha will cure a different disease. First thing that needs a cure is Naaman's pride. All of Naaman's political connections and all the right people and all of Naaman's money won't cure a thing. Yes, Naaman knows all the right people, but Elisha knows God. Now I have to give Naaman credit. Because his servants, as he's going away in a rage, they say to him, what if Elisha said $500,000? Would you have paid? Or what if Elisha said, go and conquer my enemies? Would you do that? So why not just do what he says and wash and be clean? Well, Naaman listens to his servants. That's a good thing to cure pride. He goes down to the muddy river. It's another good cure for pride. And he dunks under the water once, no change. Twice, white patches. Three, four, five times, no change. Six times down and up, no change. Here goes number seven. Now, my friends, skin is one of God's most amazing creations. Just the touch, and it sends a message immediately to your brain and back, just like that. Just a touch anywhere. And your brain can feel it, an immediate sensation. Because skin is full of nerve endings. A light touch to your toe, you feel it immediately. Now imagine you're covered with leprosy and white patches where your skin is dying all over you. And suddenly your skin is renewed. Can you imagine the sensation that flood into Naaman's brain? Oh, what a tingling. Wow, what a sensation. He looks down at his arms, pure, fresh skin, healthy and soft, as supple as baby skin. And Naaman feels the sensation. And he's cured. And he knows one thing for sure. It wasn't the king of Syria or the king of Israel. It wasn't even Elisha. Standing here in this muddy river, it was God who cured me. And God alone cured me of my leprosy. And God alone also cured Naaman of his pride. And he decides first to go thank Elisha. And that's a wonderful thing. My friends, remember, you always find in the Bible that Jesus is so much better at miracles when you compare his miracles to somebody else's. Elisha, with God's help, cured Naaman's leprosy. The little girl was right, by the way. Jesus cured 10 lepers all at once, just said, you're cured. 10 of them all at once. But the story is that only one of the 10 came back to say thank you. Keep that in mind, my friend, as we approach this Thanksgiving season. And don't forget that children who give thanks are wiser than adults. Naaman returns to Elisha. How much can I pay you? Not a cent. No charge. God's gifts are free. So Naaman asks two questions, and they are fascinating questions. Verse 17, Naaman said, "Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servants two mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. And in this thing the Lord will pardon thy servant, that when my master goes to the house of Rimmon to worship there, he leans on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow myself down in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing." And he said to him, "Go in peace." So he departed from him. First question is, can I load into sacks enough dirt to be carried home by two donkeys? Why does Naaman want all this dirt? Well, because back home in Syria, he wants to sacrifice to God, and he wants to do it on Israeli soil. I say, and you would say with me, Naaman, God doesn't care about the dirt you make the sacrifice on. Any dirt will do. So why does he want dirt? Well, think about it. He dunked in a muddy river and was cured. And he thought, God loves this muddy old river. This is God's river. And I think God must love the dirt here in Israel. After all, he's the God of Israel, and this is the promised land. I want to take some of this dirt home. It reminds me when I was a kid, my mother had three crazy cousins. And every year for Christmas, they sent us a Christmas card, and in it was a little package of dirt from the Holy Land. My mother didn't want to keep it, but she didn't want to throw it out either. There's something about dirt from the Holy Land. And Naaman was the first man to actually collect dirt from the Holy Land. The second question, Naaman says, "I go with the king of Syria to the temple of Rimmon." That's our god over in Syria. And Naaman said in verse 15, "I know now that there's no God in all the earth but the God of Israel. He cured my leprosy. But the king goes to Rimmon's temple, and I need to go with him. He bows down, leaning on my arm, and I kind of still need to do that because, after all, I work for the king. Will God forgive me if I help the king bow down?" And Elisha says, "Go in peace. God bless you. Take all the dirt you want. And when the king takes your arm to bow down, I'm sure he will see that your arm is fresh and new. He used to lean on your leprosy. No more. So give him your baby-skinned arm. And let God do the rest." So Naaman leaves with his new skin and his $500,000, heads for home. Elisha goes back in the house. But there's a P.S. to this story, a postscript or an afterthought. Elisha's servant Gehazi, we met him last week. That's the man that the great woman of Shunem didn't trust. He goes running after Naaman, and he tells a lie. He says to Naaman, "Elisha just had two visitors come, and he needs some money to help these two fellows out, and also a couple of set of new clothes." Naaman's happy to oblige. So Naaman gives Gehazi $10,000 and two new sets of clothes. Gehazi runs home, hides the money in the clothes, and then he goes in to see Elisha. Verse 25, he went in and stood before his master, and Elijah said unto him, "Whence cometh thou, Gehazi?" And he said, "Thy servant went no whither." He said unto him, "Went not my heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever." And he went out from his presence a leper, white as snow. Gehazi was a man not to be trusted. He was a greedy man. He was a liar. And Elijah just cured him both of greed and lie. Elisha, Gehazi now is covered with leprosy, him and his family, forever. No cure for Gehazi. God punishes Gehazi with the dreaded disease of leprosy. Was it worth $10,000? Was it worth new clothes? Well, the star of our story is a little girl who had faith to believe that Elisha could cure leprosy. And her words of faith led to a wonderful transformation. Naaman was transferred from a leper to a man with healthy skin, skin like a baby. But much more, Naaman was transferred from a proud, arrogant idol worshiper to a sacrificing, obedient believer of God. And that is the real miracle. That miracle, my friends, is still in full swing. Our children know all about it. Ask them, and they'll tell you. So may God bless you as you believe in His transforming power. And always remember, the deadliest disease of all is sin. Let God take care of yours. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the story that opens our eyes that we may understand, that we may trust and believe in God. We might be transformed from the people we are to the ones we should be. Help us, Lord, to believe in that with all our heart, like the little girl, that we might be wise like her. Bless us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. In closing, like you turn your hymn books to 165, standing as we sing hymn number 165, "O Boundless Salvation, Deep Ocean of Love."
Page 165.
Thy word is cleansed me. Thy word is cleansed me. plunge 'neath the waters, they roll over me. And now all it be the rest of my days, just gladly be spent in promoting his praise, who opened his bosom to pour out this sea of boundless salvation, of boundless salvation, of boundless salvation for you and for me.
Everybody said,
amen.
Levi, close in a word of prayer.
Lord, we come to you. We are grateful for the story of Naaman. And we know it is not our money and it is not our connections, our wealth, our power that gets to you. But we know that we can come to you with a sinful heart and ask for forgiveness. And you will cleanse us. You will flow over top of us with boundless salvation, beyond what we can understand, more than we need. You have free flowing forgiveness for all of us if we just come to you. And we know, though Naaman was cured of his leprosy, he was cured more amazingly of his pride. And we all have those things that we need forgiveness from. We just pray that you would help us. Help us to see and help us not to be drawn away like Gehazi to do the wrong thing. To search after and seek after something that has no value and has no wealth. But we want things of great eternal value in our life. We just ask that we would have those things and seek after those things in our life and let go of all the rest. We are thankful for your love and your kindness. Protect all these people. Bring them back to this place that we may worship together again. We pray in your name.